Well, brothers and sisters, let's go ahead and get right at it tonight and open our Bibles to Galatians, the third chapter, and we'll begin in that sweet 19th verse. And I'm just so grateful to God that we're going to continue in this joy unspeakable and full of glory that the just shall live by faith. Got two. The just shall live by faith. Amen. That's exciting stuff. It should not allow us to sit still in a pew. We're free, and whom He has made free is free indeed, believing in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God for the simplicity of the gospel of Christ. Praise God for the absolute beauty in the Word of God. And I have to tell you, He's just taken me beyond a thrill to get into this book of Galatians. This time, I just am so grateful to God. What a lover that He is. But reading again in that 19th verse of the third chapter, it says, "Wherefore then serve the law? It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come, to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture has concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe." And we'll pause there for a minute. Now, we touched on this last week, brothers and sisters, and I really believe this is one of the most precious and incredible truths in the Word of God, why the law was given. I just find it so exciting and so wonderful and so God-like, doing something so opposite of what man would ever think, why God gave us the law. Now, we know it wasn't given to make us righteous, because how precious that we've been studying and going back through Romans 3 through chapter 7. And that's laid all the groundwork of proof that we conclude that man is justified by faith. We conclude it's done, it's completed. Man is justified by faith and not by the works of the law. And that's Romans 3:28. And Galatians 2:21 clearly tells us, if righteousness come by the law, then Christ's death on the cross was for no reason. It was void. It was empty. The law was not given to teach us right from wrong, brothers and sisters. Most people go around and said, well, here it is. Here's how you live your life. Amen? Come on. And how about many of us thought that when we were a child? Amen? Stay with me now. This gets some people mighty sheepish. What's he saying? Let's listen to the Word of God. Let's listen to the Word of God. You see, this law wasn't given to us for some moral compass. It was instead quite the opposite. As we mentioned last week in Romans 5:20, the law entered, that the offense might abound. Listen to the beauty of that. It's an orchestra. It's like something no one's ever heard. And it was grace. Hallelujah. And it is. It's just something so absolutely incredibly awesome. There's nothing like it. The law entered to set sin aflame, to make sin more abundant than it ever was, more apparent than it ever could be. The law was not made for the righteous man. The law was made for the lawless man. Disobedient, ungodly sinners. You'll find that in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. It was added because of transgressions, as we're reading here, till the seed should come, to whom the promise was made. This is the 19th verse again. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. We'll read on again. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Do you see? It takes faith in Jesus Christ, praise the Lord, and that is given to them. Hallelujah, that believe. I love the grace of God there, the emphasis of how that was given to us, the grace to believe. Now, Romans chapter 7, verse 12 will tell you and tell me that the law is holy, the law is just, and the law is good. Amen. But you see, neither our fathers nor we are able to bear the law. And that's told in Acts 15:10. And then the scripture hath concluded here in verse 22 that all are under sin. Now, did you hear that? First of all, we couldn't bear it. Second of all, we're all under it. Well, that gets me to conclude we need help. Amen? Amen, we need help. And thank God. See, I think that's the beauty of the Lord. It's a growing awareness of how much help you need. God, I need you. I mean, I so need you. Praise the Lord. And then it becomes a passionate need. Hallelujah. But that's the need of God in our lives. But we need help. And we need help from the law of sin and death. And we needed a mediator. And praise be to God, we sure got one. Hallelujah, we got one. Now, Moses was such a sweet type of this mediator to come back in Exodus 32. He was the mediator between God and Israel. And if you remember that, in Exodus 32, God was pretty fed up. Matter of fact, God was done. Matter of fact, God was going to erase Israel. I love the conversation. You need to go back and read it, and you'll smile and chuckle too. But he was going to erase Israel, and he said, you know what, I'm just going to start over with you, Moses. And Moses, praise the Lord, he said he got the Lord to repent of the evil that he thought to do to his people. That's verse 14. Read that. It's precious, the relationship that Moses had with God. I love that. I love how God loves his people. I love how God loves his children. I love how God loves his sons. It's wonderful. Don't you love to talk to your father? I love listening to Brother Ray, and it's so true. Abba, Father. That's my dad. Hallelujah. It's not just father, it's dad. Hallelujah. I come in. You understand me. You're for me. And see, that's something that I know more and more so real to my heart right now. My sons are coming into an age, these late teens especially, where this independence is a precious thing. It's natural, wonderful. But still, that encouragement, like never before, needs to be received from dad. Listening like never before needs to be done by the children to their parents. And the only thing I can emphasize to my children is I love you. I am so for you. I'm not trying to dampen your parade. By God's grace, I have a vision for you. I have a vision under the hand of God. And I want to encourage you. And narrow is the way. It's narrow. Wide and easy is the way to destruction. Many find that one. It's easy. Watch the world. They're running into that hole. But narrow is the way to life. Praise God. That's why we need to really lift one another up. Pray, pray, pray. Help us to stand, withstand, having done all to stand. Now, so this was such a type of the grace that came in, the mediator. And thanks be to God tonight, we rejoice that there is but one mediator between God and man, the Lord Christ Jesus. I was rejoicing in that again this week to think when Sister Lydia came in, praise God, that's what hit her. That's what changed her whole life. She was caught in a religion that there was always mediators between her and God. But she found, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I am. Isn't that wonderful? I am the mediator. Praise the Lord. See, these are things we rejoice in. This is the reality of it all. This is our dad. Praise God. And the Lamb, hallelujah, has opened that way to our Father. Praise his name. Now, Brother Copley so sweetly points out in this that to mediate any situation, there must be three parties involved. You have two that are in dispute, But there is a mediator that needs to come to satisfy, to bring it together. And the mediator shares a common interest with these parties. And oh, what a common interest with God the Father. Matter of fact, this mediator and the Father are one. Matter of fact, there's no division in this. You talk about a oneness and a singleness of mind and purpose, and the whole intent was to reconcile the world unto himself. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's read this beautiful verse together, 19. That's 2 Corinthians 5, 19. To wit, that God was in Christ. Well, that knocks out a lot of religions out there, doesn't it? Reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Man, is that a good one. I love that, how we're reconciled, accepted, approved. The atonement has been made. Christ is not dead in vain. Hallelujah. This is the most beautiful story, brothers and sisters, that's ever been told. God's justice was met. God's justice was met, amazingly, by the mediator. The Lamb of God paid it all. And through Christ and his blood, we have been reconciled to God. And all I can say is a big hallelujah to that. And thank you, Jesus. And that is a story that never grows old. It just grows more mighty as we really have a sharpened vision of the work on the cross. And praise God what the blood did, how it rent that veil in twain, and we go boldly to the throne of grace. See, the promise by faith of Jesus Christ be given to them that believe. Isn't that so beautiful? And that's the whole way it is with God. Believe the word of God. Receive the grace. Realize that, praise the Lord, the law has been done away with. I'm free, and I'm free indeed. Every day of every week, encouraging people by God's grace. Accept and receive the grace of forgiveness of sins. Take it. That's done now. That's the foundation. It's been laid. Now, receive the grace for the power to grow and to grow up into him in all things. See, that's the grace that leads to glory. Praise his name. This is that all-encompassing grace, the grace for grace, upon grace, grace everywhere. Hallelujah. This is how we grow, the freedom of who and what we are in Christ. I can't wait till we get into the fourth chapter of Jesus Terry because, man, we're going to start hitting the bridal truths there. But this all builds up into it because this is what this is. It's line upon line and line upon line and precept upon precept and precept upon precept. Let him build this in us. And brothers and sisters, oh, I'm so thankful. I was so thrilled. And I think I mentioned this to you. I don't know. But one of the things, especially in Rome, that just struck me so was how these old, old buildings, and I'm talking about buildings that were 100 and 200 year B.C., were in such perfect condition, absolutely immaculate, like that it was built that week. It was so beautiful, and the walls and the curvature of these ceilings were so perfect. And then I got up close to them, and I started to realize there's no mortar in these things. I said, did it fall out? Was it gone? And the guy laughed, and he says, oh, no, those are perfectly fit. And I got to thinking, man, isn't that how the Word of God is? It's just perfectly fit, and it doesn't move, and it's beautiful. And hallelujah, when that's built in our life, we become altogether lovely. It's so awesome, and it was so beautiful how it just spoke to me how, praise God, they're cut, they're perfectly fit and joined together. And see, that's what the Word of his God does in our lives. And so magnificent how that is. Now let's go ahead and read 23 and 24 of the third chapter. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Yes, amen. What a masterful love plan, isn't it? Isn't that just, you know, God had to write this. That's all I can say. I was rejoicing today to think of everything and anything that's ever been written There is nothing like the Word of God. It's just, it's so absolutely amazing. And written over time, as they say, oh, by all these different authors, even though we know there was one author, but all the different vessels that were used, and how seamlessly perfect it is. That's how you know it's God. If you were going to say, well, anything of any religion, any text was it, there's nothing that compare to the Word of God. Even the literature scholars understand there's nothing, nothing like it. It's just sad that they just sit back and look at it like this and trying to analyze it with this, and you're going to get nowhere in it. You're going to say, wow, that's a masterful thing. No, that's the I Am. That is the most beautiful masterpiece, praise God, that's working in us. Hallelujah. But in this masterful love plan, not only was there a looking forward to the cross, but the cross and all its glory, listen to this, was going to be magnified like it never could be by the law, and by the law's power to unleash the abounding of sin. I'm sorry, I get delirious thinking about how God did that. It's not like he brought this law for us. Okay, see, this is what you need to be like. This is what you need to do. He brought it for the complete opposite. This is how come you can't do it. This is how come you're going to even act more squirrely, because you're going to try to do this and it's just going to accentuate your sin even that much more. How much you can't hit the mark. You thought you could, maybe. I don't know what we think sometimes. God help us, let this mind be in me. Hallelujah. Let me just understand that it's faith in you, my precious Lord and Savior. But see, that's just what the law, brothers and sisters, our schoolmaster did. He showed us by nature there is none righteous, no, not one. Amen. I have some dear friends, and I will say dear friends, that believe somehow, some way, if there is a God, well, I'm a good man, and my works are going to be acceptable. And my goodness, if God won't accept that, then fooey on him. It is foolishness. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And you cannot come to the Father but by him. It's a package. And the only way the package ever even begins is through Jesus Christ. Amen. It has to come through the blood. It has to be by the Lamb of God. And I'm so thankful to the Lord that he's shown us there's none righteous, no, not one. This law showed us that we are all lawbreakers. This law taught us that we need grace. This law taught us that we need to be justified. And the only way we're going to be justified is by faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. Verse 25, let's go on. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. You see how beautiful that is? And that is the same thing in our lives today. See, until we have Jesus Christ, you're going to be judged by that law and you're dead. You're dead in your trespasses and sin. You're dead before you started. You're just dead. But hallelujah, read that verse and how alive it is. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. I'm thankful for how reaching that is and how beautiful that is personally to my life, and how free and free indeed the moment by God's grace I said, Jesus Christ, I believe, and bam, the law, hallelujah, gone for me, praise be to God. But see, God, this was a provision that the Lord worked on the cross, hallelujah, for all. It's all here. It's freely given. Now, you think about these kids that we have that are in school. There is a longing, a panting, that these next 2 weeks would fly by so fast that it would just be gone and over, because there's a very difficult time coming, which is called finals. But if only those 2 weeks could pass, school is done. Amen? And they're out and they're free and it's summer. And parents really need to pray. But what a precious type we have here. The school of law is over. Romans 10:4. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. That should put a big smile on your face. Thank you, Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation. Oh, I was thanking him again today. We are so quick to fail if we're sincere before the Lord. So quick to fail. And whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Know this. And yet there is therefore no condemnation. Before I came out here praying, I was laughing with the Lord. Oh, thank you, I'm so free. Thank you, Lord God, that you took care of all of that. TLEO, it is finished. And hallelujah, Lord, I believe, and thank God, the end of the law for righteousness for me. Whom he has made free is free indeed. And God help us, brothers and sisters, not to entangle ourselves with this bondage, because it's over and done. In Galatians 5, chapter 1, stand fast, therefore. Firm, don't be moved. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Amen, amen, amen. Now, brothers and sisters, this is a fight, and it's fighting the good fight of faith. And this precious Galatians, so many times is read maybe once or twice, and then shelved. Let me tell you, as grace and glory saints, dwell in Galatians 2. Go back. Rejoice the more. And again, I say rejoice. Hallelujah. This is the subtle attack of the enemy as we go on often with the Lord. Is somehow, some way, grace needed help. That somehow, some way, we think that they're going to abide together. Let me tell you something. They don't abide together. It's either grace or it's works. There's no two. They are complete opposites. They do not dwell in the same place. They cannot. Amen. Read the Word of God and you'll see that for yourself. You'll see that precious truth. But that's what happens often with saints that are running for God's precious best. The enemy, subtly, well, you could do this and become more righteous. Or if you were this way, you could be more holy. Let me tell you something. He's already given me his righteousness. There can't be any more righteousness. Praise God, we understand the crown is an exalted rank of it, but it's just because it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. It's being found not having my dirty self-righteousness, but the righteousness of God, which is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now, this is good stuff. Once we see and receive this precious truth that whom he has made free is free indeed, that we stand therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and we don't need to even be entangled at all with the yoke of bondage, then we can grow. And I'm talking uninhibited growth, brothers and sisters. The potential in grace, the heights of glory, ruling and reigning jointly with Jesus Christ, allowing him to grow up into us in all things, because it's his work. We are his workmanship. Praise God, amen. And I'm thankful to the Lord, and I've been so appreciative of Brother Paul and the example that God brought through that sweet brother. And I've been rejoicing again in chapter 7. The good that I would, I do not, and the evil that I would not, that I do. How many times have I been there? Lord, get me to Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Praise God, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Jump me all through the scriptures. Get me into Ephesians. Get my heart into Colossians. Hallelujah. Rejoicing with the Philippians. He did it. That life lives. That life reigns. Help me, Lord. And I don't know, this might be coming Sunday. He hadn't told me exactly what's coming if he tarry. Help me to glory in my infirmities. Uh-oh. You don't preach that north wind doctrine to me. Oh, yeah, I am. Blow, north wind, blow. Hallelujah. That Song of Solomon stuff. I get delirious sometimes. But it's just so wonderful where he's bringing us, brothers and sisters. See, this is us. This is for us. And this is what faith produces. And the high calling of God in Christ Jesus doctrine is the heights of faith. And can you imagine the height of pleasing God? Believing him at his word? Father, thank you. I'm going to take it. You said it. It's so. It's mine, mine, mine. All is mine. Praise his name. See, the absolute assurance when we come, confident that Christ fulfilled the law for me. Brothers and sisters, this is vital. This is vital if we're really going to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is vital. And the vision of this, God sharpen it the much the more. And you know how you realize that it's the much the more sharpened of this vision? You become more thankful, don't you? You become more rejoicing. You become more joyous, more loving because of this freedom. That's what freedom does. It just fills you and floods you with the appreciation, the thankfulness of God, and love flows out. You can't stop it. It's a floodgate. It just hits you. And I'm so thankful to God that it becomes that the confidence that Christ has fulfilled this. And then this grace and love just takes control. And then the Holy Ghost, praise God, takes more of that love and continues to shed it abroad in our hearts. Delirious loving his appearing. You become delirious loving his appearing. And that's a love that, man, it can't be measured. It just goes on and on and on. It causes then us to will and to do of his good pleasure. It'll even cause us to walk in the Spirit. Let's go over and read chapter 6 of Romans here. 6:14. Romans 6:14. Listen to this. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Oh, yeah, I remember that one. That's your life. That's who we are. Isn't that just wonderful? Isn't that incredible? Listen to that again. For sin shall not have dominion over you. That's the Word of God talking to you. Is it just for Wednesday night for the 30 minutes we get together? These are the promises of God. Again. For yourself, read this. For sin shall not have dominion over me. For ye are not under the law, but under grace. Wow. Do people just skip over that? He that wills to know will know. Isn't that amazing what our flesh wants? We always want to be magnified, don't we? God, help us to let him increase. Just let him increase. Let him be magnified. Give him all the glory. God, help us not to be puffed up. It is so wonderful to truly receive the grace to glory in Jesus Christ, isn't it? Isn't it beautiful? That's the oneness that we have because we glory in him. When we start to glory in ourselves, we've just divided, see? Well, I did that. No, you didn't do anything. Except the only thing you're doing is not believing the word by trying to magnify yourself. Let's magnify him. Praise God. This is such a wonderful, mighty truth. All right, let's go on. Galatians 3:26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ, or in Christ Jesus. Now, there seems to be a sweeping doctrine, and it's a devil's doctrine, that we are all the children of God, period. No, you're not. You're only a child of God one way. And again and again and again throughout the Word of God. But here is a wonderful verse always to remember. And it's interesting how sharp beyond a two-edged sword than any two-edged sword this word is. But this does pierce. And by God's grace, preach the word. Take them here. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. See, now think about how those two verses, how people have taken out the most important part. Christ and Christ, huh? Amen. Look at that. See, for ye are all the children of God. Oh, that's a great saying. Don't you say that second part, though. Well, the second part's all the glory. That's the best part of the second part. By faith in Christ Jesus. And now think of all the religions that say, but as many as you have been baptized. There you go. You got to just get baptized. Into Christ have put on Christ. Huh? See? See how the devil comes in? He'll use pieces and parts and... The entirety of the Word of God. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye all are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now this is it, brothers and sisters. And I pray, as we're being encouraged here in this study tonight, let's just keep our eyes on Him. Amen? Amen. See the simplicity of the gospel. Hear Him. You know, God finally had to take care of it. Everybody disappeared and there was Jesus. Now hear Him. This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. Hear Him. See, brothers and sisters, our eyes are on Him. And our eyes are on Him that He leads us. Our eyes are on Him that the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Our eyes are on Him that we acknowledge Him in all our ways and He will direct our paths. Amen? See, that's faith and faith and faith. And do you see that there's a pattern that develops there? Him. In Him. It's Christ Jesus. Amen. It's all throughout. It's the pattern that we look to Him. Oftentimes we get so worried, and I appreciate the different brothers and the different writers how they would bring this out. We get worried about our walk. Well, am I walking right? Just get your eyes on Him and you'll walk. You know what I'm saying? Quit. Stop. Believe Him. Have faith. Step out in faith. He'll do it. Look to the Lamb of God and that finished work on the cross that He did it. See, that's the beauty of the boldness. That's how David started to walk around with enlarged steps. He was just a man after God's own heart. That's how simple it was. He didn't worry about himself. He looked to God. Amen? See, that's what God is trying to do over and over in our lives. Honeys, quit looking at yourself. Look to me. Look to that cross. And in this precious text, see, man often wants to look to the law, which is looking to self, to what I'm going to do. And he said, no, look to the cross. Look what's already been done and finished. Because you'll look to that other stuff and it's just death. It'll drag you down. It'll break you. Look to the cross. It'll grow you. Praise God. Just as Abraham was guided into God's best for him, God did it without a law. I love the story. 430 years before the law was ever given, Abraham believed God. Abraham was led by God. And praise God, looky here, it's the same for us. We're guided without the law too. Isn't that wonderful? Except we've got exceeding great precious promises. We've got even greater promises than the worthies of the Old Testament. And you think now, we even have the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, the Teacher, who has not just come upon us, but has come to dwell in us and to guide us into all truth. Now you talk about a journey. You talk about a trek. You think Abraham went some places. He never saw anything like where we're going. Praise the Lord. Amen? Amen. Come on now. Yea, the deep things of God. Taking the things of Christ, brothers and sisters, and making them ours. See, as we wrap this up tonight, we are baptized not into water, but into Christ. Yes, I'm loving this. Romans 6:3, into his death. We entered into that. Boy, the oneness that we have in Christ Jesus is gripping my heart like never before. I'm so thankful. I'm understanding, Lord, in that wonderful Son, I am a son. That life has come to live and reign in me. Hallelujah. It's directing my life because of the empowering of the grace of God by the Holy Spirit. And now that we have died with him, we've been raised with him, seated with him. Grace empowering us, brothers and sisters, all the way awaiting him in all his glory, that we would even cry, bridegroom, bridegroom. How many saints do you know that have that hope? Not many. No. I'm not puffing you up at all. I pray that you're even getting more lowly as I say that. In all gratitude to God, thank you, Jesus. I want you to come along. I want you to believe this. Man, this is the, you talk about the mother lode. It's for everybody, especially for all of God's precious people. I can read there to you. He would that all men be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. Complete, exact, intimate, on and on and on of the truth. And that's the truth. That's what he wants. Why stop in unbelief? Why hold back? Draw nigh in full assurance of faith, believing. And it only gets better, doesn't it? I was rejoicing as the Lord was encouraging my heart about so many getting married here, if the Lord tarry. And in counseling each and every one of them, you're doing this because of the joy that you're anticipating entering in. And it is a joy. Marriage should be a joy. It should be the greatest joy, the heights of joy there would ever be by being together with the one you love in life. Kids, all of those different things. Heights of joy that you would have never known otherwise. Amen? It's the truth. But I can honestly say this too. The heights of joy that I would have never known otherwise, and the depths of sorrow and pain and hurt that I would have never known otherwise. Yes. Will you go? Well, praise be to God, I'm already sitting on the camel. Let's get out of here. Huh? That's how I was with my wife. I wasn't thinking about the sorrow. Matter of fact, I never did. And you know what comes? But thank the Lord, the joy surpasses it. And that's just temporal things. Huh? Forever is a long time. And what is coming? What awaits? And I got a pretty good imagination. I'm sure you do too, because Christ's mind's in you. But yet, it still hasn't entered into our thoughts, minds, hearts, eyes, ears, anything, what God has prepared for us. Incredible. Brothers and sisters, we have him. And he has us. He's in us, and we are in Christ. It's who we are. As the scripture says here, we've put him on. And that word means to sink into. Sink into him. Sink into him. See, he's holding you. But when you apprehend him, you'll sink into him. You'll meld into his arms. You'll lose yourself in Christ. I want that for us. Because that's the love of God. And I'm telling you, it's feverish right now. Sink into him. Get comfortable. It's who we are in Christ. And then here it is with all of us, brothers and sisters. And please let this be your joy. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. See, there's no divisions. There isn't in him. There's no, well, he's got it better than I do. Or she's got it worse than I do. Or that one, it's easy for them and it's hard. No, it's not. Knock it off. Stop these things. We have to stop it. We are in a world that the prince and power of this air, his greatest tool is division. Amen. Dividing us in any way and shape or form, we can be divided. Our nation, it's always been, but it's just gaining more in division. Whether it's classes, whether it's races, whatever it may be, the enemy's going to hit every angle he can. Our citizenship is in heaven, if I remind you. You're seated right now together with him in Christ. Let's be reminded. Now are we the sons of God. And if we really come together and we rejoice in this doctrine of the bride of Christ, let them dwell together. Does that pierce you? Does that mean something to you? You know what dwell means? It means to settle down in marriage. That's the evidence of her. Good marriages settle down. They meld. They sink into one another, don't they? Are we sinking into the oneness that's in Christ Jesus? I believe we are. Don't fight it. Fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. When the enemy comes in, and he will, he'll be allowed to. Because God's going to show himself faithful in you. He's going to parade you around. Amen. He is. He didn't just do that with Job. He does it with all his sons. It's awesome. And he's going to allow that to happen. And he's going to try to do that in this meeting. And he's done it before. And I understand that the Word of God says, well, there must be heresies among you. But as for me and my house, by his grace, we're going to serve the Lord. Vessel of honor. Vessel by God's grace to edify the body. To be a salve by God's grace, to supply as a joint, to mend. Man, to be used by the Lord is a mighty thing, isn't it? Nothing greater. And that glory ain't to me, it's to my Lord. Oh, to be more like him. It's incredible. Because you're seeing the pleasure of the Father. You're seeing your dad rejoice. That's my boy. That's my son. Look at him. Look at him glory in what my precious lamb did on the cross. You should get excited. And heirs. Oh, look what it says here. And heirs. By works or deeds. No way. By faith. And brothers and sisters, now even joint heirs together with Christ, if we will suffer together with him. And how do we suffer together with him? Feast on this word. Turn with me as we close with these verses. Revelation chapter 10. verse 9 and 10. Sometimes different ones get a little bit confused. What is this suffering with Christ Jesus? Well, you walk with him long enough, you'll know. But it's the Word that does it. It's not you. It's the Word. And here it is. Revelation 10, verse 9. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it, eat it up. And it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. See, I love how that was pointed out. The bitter. I want you to understand this. It's going to be sweet. But the bitter, praise God, I want to emphasize how beautiful that is. Praise the Lord. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. Hallelujah. Let's stand and be dismissed.